Coach.
Good morning.
Today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we read from verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by that unrighteousness oppress the truth. What can be known about God is explained to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. This ends the Bible reading.
Amen.
Good to see everybody. This morning, I hope you had a good week. We want to welcome all our visitors today. If you're visiting with us, let's put down Muzzy with us. This guy's a great guy if you get a chance to meet him, and somebody who Emmy works with, my daughter Emmy. Muzzy gained so much respect from the people in our town. He owns a small restaurant in the village. Every time you go in there, most hospitable. We want to welcome you. We're so glad you're here. We have a tradition, I hope you don't mind. But what we like to do, the congregation loves to give a Bible as a gift to anyone who visits. And so, Emmy, I'm not going to give you, you've got hundreds, but if I can give one for yourself and one for your wife as well on behalf of the congregation and appreciate that. We're thankful that you're here to be with us. You're welcome. Thank you. The weeks are flying. It's unbelievable how quick time is going, isn't it? Every week seems to fly by. I just wanted to touch on something, that this is a question that was asked to me a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, I'm going to touch on that. And it kind of came to my mind this morning. The passage that we looked at, it kind of really gives an understanding into the question that people often ask me is, why do you believe in God? You know, why do you believe in God, Paul? You know, what is it all about? And do you know, sometimes is it an easy question to answer? One thing is for certain, what I always say is this. The basics started everything for me. It was the basics. It wasn't somebody sitting down giving me lessons, or it wasn't somebody sitting there going through long sermons, but it was just the basics to start with. One of the things that you'll find in Scripture is the Bible never argues for the existence of God. It never starts off in the Bible where the Bible is saying, listen, not many people are going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you, or let me just explain something to try and persuade people to believe in me. It begins with a simple, majestic message, and it's simply this, in the beginning God. In the beginning God. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, creation as we know it is it's us. It doesn't say anything about God's creation, it talks about our creation. God is there. The lesson is in the beginning, in my beginning, in your beginning, in any beginning in life, it is God. That is the first thing that comes to my mind. I have to ask myself, how realistic is this? How realistic is it to assume this? And then the more I dig into it, the more it amazes me. Because the Bible begins with a declaration, not with, as I say, an argument. There is a God. That's what it tells me. So it says, in the beginning, there is a God. Now, I have to think about that concept. You know, well, okay, then let me try and get my head around this. Because let me tell you, if you don't start there, you'll miss the central truth of life itself. Because there has to be that question. Where do I come from? What is life all about? And so when you dig in Scripture and you find things in there and you pull them out and you get passages, and they, to some people it's just a load of passages that are just here, there and everywhere. But when you begin to hear the voice of God and when you begin to hear the teaching, that was my turning point. You know, that's where the likes of Proverbs 1:7, it means when it says the fear of the Lord is in the beginning of knowledge. And so the knowledge is in the beginning God, but also in the beginning knowledge, because the knowledge comes through not only what we hear, but what we see. And so that was my turning point, and I'm going to explain that. And for the person that asked me about this a few weeks ago, I say this, that God has made himself known to every person. That's a reality. So let me tell you, if you go into a desert, an island in the middle of nowhere where civilization has never reached anybody, the chances are that the people will worship a mountain, or they'll worship a tree, or they'll worship a rock. And if you say, what is that for? And if they could translate to your language, they would say, well, that's to the God who created everything. Well, how do you know there's a God? And so the logic, you see, man's logic is there is a God. There has to be. God has made himself known to every person. How? Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen. In other words, since he created the world, he can be seen through it. And so I asked, that was the beginning for me. I was suddenly thinking, well, hang on, this isn't about people telling me something. This isn't about me just opening a Bible. This is just the logic. The logic says there has to be a God. You know, logic tells me when I get in my car, somebody made it. Logic tells me that anything in life that we have was made by somebody. When I use this computer, it was designed and built by somebody. That is the logic of it. Well, now let's look at life and look at creation and look at the world and ask ourselves. And the passage says, for since the creation of the world, and we already said the beginning of the world, his invisible attributes, in other words, the things that you can't see about him are made visible. Why? Because we see creation, we see the world, we see the tides going in and out, we see a planet that is not too close to the sun that we burn, but not too far from the sun that we freeze. We see oceans, that tides, we see seasons, we see children being born, we see all kinds of things that we see. They are the invisible attributes that have been clearly seen through his creation. And so people, the first question, why do you believe in God? Because I'd be foolish not to. Now, there's people on islands who worship mountains. Why? Because they believe there's a God, they've just not understood, they've not learned about him. They don't know who he is. They know he's there, but they don't know who he is. And so that is always my explanation. For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, the things that are made help me understand there has to be a creator. Even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, I have no excuse to deny God, because how can I deny that there isn't a God when the world reveals him to me? That's the beginning. So that was the turning point for me. It's a great way when people ask you the question, that's where to start. That's the starting point. Take a look. Ask yourself, can this be from nothing? You know, could this be from nothing? God has revealed himself so clearly that no one can miss it. In other words, people will deny it, but they won't miss it. That's the point. You can say to anyone, it's the reality of it. You know, this TV in the corner of your room and you switch it on and it works. How does it work? Well, somebody made it. What if I said, well, look, you switch it on and nobody made it, and the car you drive just appeared, or all these things. Now let's look at the basics. The tide goes in and out, but I don't know how, but it works from the gravity of the moon. And all these things that are happening in life. And do I say to myself now, logically, a car can't make itself, but the world created itself. It's just not logically correct. And so men suppress the truth about God, sometimes through fear, sometimes through lack of understanding, sometimes through lack of teaching. Now Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. People suppress the teaching. We live in a world today, in a society today, where there's so much teaching to explain the God that everybody understands there has to be a God. It's common sense. So if you ask people, do you believe there's a God? I do. Do you worship? Well, no, I don't go that far, but I believe there is a God. Well, it's the beginning point. The point is then that who has explained it to them? Who has shown them direction? Who has shown them what the Bible teaches? And so as the Church of Christ, as we know, this congregation is what we call non-denominational. And you remember a time back we played a video, and on the top, if you remember, there was a line across the top. The first part of the line was when the church started. And all the way across the line, all the way to the end, is up to this day. And over time, people have come away a little bit, and come away a little bit, and come away a little bit, and little branches off, lots of little directions, and all kinds of different ways. And so then what happens is all the people that say there is a God, they see and understand there is a God, but they don't get the teaching that tells them where God is. And so non-denomination is that we haven't deviated from the line at the top, we've stayed on it. And so what happens is the answers we find are in the Word of God, because that is where the truth is. But the truth is suppressed so that people cannot see it. But listen, they cannot completely obliterate the message. How many people have tried to do that? Look at the history. You know, there's so many people that John Wycliffe, if you look at the history, well, John Wycliffe, if you go into Lutterworth, which is just up the road, Junction 20, he was a man who did a translation of the Bible to English language. He was a person where the kings were persecuting people who had anything to do with religion, and translating the Bible was just not going to be allowed. You know, you'd be in big trouble. And so he was executed. He was executed. His body was, his ashes were thrown into the lake. He was set on fire and he was burnt, and they tried to suppress him. And listen, they tried to do away with his teaching. You know, you go to the British Museum, his Bible's there with all the angry writings in there. They couldn't even destroy his Bible. So, you know, people try and suppress the truth. They try and do it, but they cannot do it. Why? Because it is plain and clearly seen both in nature and in conscience. So this plainly seen revelation of God in nature has been available since the creation of the world. You cannot deny man's vision and sight of what he sees. Everyone knows something about God. Everybody. No one has ever lived who missed this revelation. My ancestors, my great-grandfathers and all them, some of them believed, some of them didn't believe. Some of them were followers, some of them weren't followers, but each and every one of them had an opportunity to see for themselves what we see. When you see creation, when you see a baby being born, when you see nature at its best, when you go and stand in the forest and listen to all the birds and see all the wildlife and see all these things, they declare God. There's no denying it. And so no one can miss that. Where the missing comes is when people don't get the teaching, the truth that brings them answers. That's why people will worship a football team or worship a mountain or worship a rock. They know there's a God, they just don't quite know how to go about it. So the truth was there for all to see, so plainly laid out that no one could miss it. That is God. The amazing thing about God is he designed his world that we would see. Freedom of choice. You know, I'm glad we've got a God who gives freedom of choice, because if God says, I'm going to make the world and you're all going to obey me, what kind of people would he have? It would be just like robots. What he wants, the same as me, I want people to like me for their own choice. A dictator in the world is not like because the people like him, he's like because the people fear him. And God wants people to love him for who he is, for his creation. And so therefore everything was laid out, it is plainly conceived. No one can deny that there is a God, however people can refuse to accept it. And because God made it abundantly clear and overwhelming. And that explains why every culture on earth has some conception of God. There are people worshipping idols, even in the first century, when the church first began, there were people worshipping idols. If you remember, there was the account of the stone to the unknown God. They were worshipping everything that they could find and had a stone to the unknown God. They all knew there was a God, it's just that they hadn't quite got their heads around who God was and how to worship him. That is what the teaching of the Bible is about. Man was made to look to him for answers outside of just what he sees then, but to see the truth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 in the Old Testament, it says that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. So he designed us to seek him. That's a reality. I don't know anyone who doesn't seek God. Have you ever thought about God? Well, I've thought about where life comes from. Or have you ever thought about creation and how it was made? Yeah, I have thought about it. I don't really know, but I know something, that this is beyond my mind. This is something beyond understanding. This is too big. How can it come together? Do you remember the saying where there was a man, I've used this before, where he says to God, God, listen, I'm going to make men just like you. I'm going to make a man just like you, God. I'm going to do it. So God goes, okay, go ahead. So the man swoops down and picks the soil up, and God says, hey, put my soil down. You're making a man, you use your own soil. And the point is this, that is the concept of creation, that this is all God's. Everything we have is through him and from him. And so the eternity has been put in the hearts of men to understand that there is something beyond. Man is looking for answers. This comes from God himself. God put the longing inside the human heart to cause men to look to him. I have seen the most unlikeliest of people come to Christ. My own son-in-law, Daniel, he won't mind me telling you, he was the most unlikeliest person to come to Christ. Took drugs and was a heavy drinker. He'll tell you this, he's got no concerns. Heavy drinking and rough families and street fighting and all that kind of stuff going on. His whole life was he had no real families. He had no grounding. He brought his sister up. They struggled, and so they fought and fight and battle and conflict. Came to Christ. What was it, 4 years, 3 years ago? He's now in America studying the Bible and preaching the gospel. He rang me the other day. We baptized 4 people this week. He's out preaching the gospel. You see? Don't underestimate what God can do and how he can change lives. It's not about who you are. It's about accepting him. When you find him, he'll change your life. In Psalms 19:1, what does it say? The heavens declare the glory of God. I've told you this before. The heavens, it's not talking about heaven. Okay? The people out in the fields like shepherds or cattlemen or people out there, they would stand and they would look at the expanse. There was no light pollution. It was just pure nature, and they would stand on the hilltops and look out as far as their eyes could see. That was the heavens. That's what they called the heavens. And if they looked up at night and it was pitch black and they could see all the stars and all the moon shining, that was the heavens. It's what they could see. So they called it the heavens. Well, what it said was in the passage that the heavens, what you see, declares the glory of God. You cannot look and not deny God the reality that this was created. This was something that he had given. And to the most unlikeliest of people, they can accept that through seeing it and understanding it. That was the beginning of my change. My change came from what I could see, the logic of it. Do you know, scientists can study the stars for a lifetime and come away saying there is no God. We know a famous scientist who have done that. I don't believe there's a God. They're almost looking to convince themselves there is another God. But others will see creation and say there is. There must be a God. And so Psalms 19:1 means that God has not left us room for doubt, but mankind can deny it. Because that is the freedom of choice. I do not have to accept it, but the reality is there. I can say to somebody that this world is created, and they can say, I don't believe it is. And that's their choice to do that. And how people perceive it and how people see it is down to them. In Psalms 8 and verse 3, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Do you know what this tells me? When it says, when I consider the heavens, it's talking about God. And it's saying, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers. It, you know, if Janet could go back in time, she'd be a forensic scientist. She loves forensics. She's watching all the TV programs, solving all the crimes. You know, she could solve them all. And when there's a crime, what do? They go and investigate. They get the fingerprints and all the DNA and all the information. Let me tell you that God has left his fingerprints on this universe, all over it, all over it. There isn't nothing that can tell me that that universe is not created by God. It's got his fingerprints all over it. I can tell you, look at it, see it for yourself. You'll see it. God has left that. Every rock, every tree, every river, every ocean, every star in the sky has got the fingerprints of God on it. They bear the divine DNA of a living God, because it's his work. No human being can do it. No explosion can do it. You can't create something from an explosion. Nothing good comes from an explosion. It's absolute perfection. His world is perfection. The word of God is perfection. The word of God says there are fountains in the base of the sea, in the depths of the sea, with pure, clean water coming out of it. Man takes a submarine, goes down to find that out. The Bible says that the sun stays still and the earth rotates, but man says the sun rises up, goes across and comes down. Until man goes up in a rocket and looks down and suddenly sees the earth is moving and the sun is sitting still. The Bible tells us things that man does not comprehend. Man has to research it and find it out later in life. Well, the Bible says there's a jet stream. You fly to America, it will take you 9 hours to go there and 7 hours to come back because you fly back in the jet stream. Who knew about a jet stream until you got in a plane and flew in it? And that is the power of the Word of God. God's Word is real and it is accurate. And the passage says, when I considered the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, I know. I don't need to be a scientist to not understand that you have left your fingerprints on there. That is you. That is God's DNA. That is His creation. The world, brethren, the world is God's house. And we're living in it. We're passengers. I always say this, you know, the house I live in now, one day I won't be here. I don't know who will live there. It probably won't even be in the family anymore. It'll be long gone. And all my money will be gone. And my car will be somebody else's, it'll be scrap metal, or it'll be something. All the things that I have, that I treasure, a day will come and they'll be gone. You know, I remember, you know, people who had passed away, who I'd known, and over time we started clearing out the stuff and throwing things away that they treasured, and things that they hung on to. These things are temporary, because this world is God's house. We live in His house. And He has left clues everywhere in His house about what kind of God He is. He tells us about health. You go to the Bible teaches about health, about hygiene, about health, about how to you know, COVID. You go to the Bible, it'll tell you all about things like that and how to protect yourself as people and all these kind of things. All these things come from the Word of God. All these things are retained within His Scripture because God has revealed Himself through His creation. And also through His holy word. He reveals Himself through that. We have to go to the basics. We have to go to the teaching. And so when I see God's creation, and when I understand there is a God, my next thing that I want to do is I want to go and seek some knowledge. I want to find out what the Bible is saying. Don't listen to people. Listen to the teaching. And this is why we say in this congregation, when I'm teaching, you check it. I say a passage, check it out, make sure I'm not giving you any false information. If I am, make sure I know about it. Because we want to tell the truth. When all is said and done, I believe the best argument, though, for the Christian view of God is found in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, people think of Him as a made-up thing, or just a story, or just some good character. Listen, there are scholars and writers, if you're interested, who write all about it. There are people very close to His time when He was alive on the earth that they weren't believers. That they wrote, oh, there was this man called Jesus, went to the tomb. Yeah, you know, he disappeared on the third day. Tomb rolled back and he'd gone. And there was all these problems going on. And this church came up and there were people growing and expanding and the church was building. And they write all about these things because these things really happened. Jesus was real. He was absolutely real. And God has revealed Himself to us in Jesus. When all is said and done, when all is said and done, the truth is there. God has revealed Himself to us in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son to the earth in the form of a man. We talk about the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three of one. You know, water is water. Freeze it, becomes ice. Boil it, becomes steam. Water, ice, steam. Same substance, three characteristics. The Holy Spirit is one characteristic. The Son is the other characteristic. The Father is the other characteristic. All comes from the same substance that becomes the one that functions and makes everything come to be the way it is. And so the Father sent the Son to the earth in the form of a man. He raised Him in a carpenter's home, and He was misunderstood by everybody. Because people will misunderstand the truth. People don't want to accept Christ because they misunderstand it, or they don't want to take too seriously what it is telling us. And so he was raised in the carpenter's home. He was misunderstood by his family. He was rejected by his people. He was convicted by religious leaders and put to death for blasphemy. We talked in our midweek class about kings in the Bible. One of those things we said about the kings in the Bible, every single king, the people said, we want a king like all the other nations. And so God gave them these kings, though He was their king. He was God, He was their king. And he gave them the kings that they wanted, and he gave them exactly as they asked. So their kings were good looking. They were warriors, and they had big horses. They looked the part. They were strong. They were mighty. They really looked the part. These were the kings that people were looking for. When Jesus came to the earth, the true king, so the Godhead that came down to the earth, God in the flesh, when he was down on this earth, the people didn't even recognize him because he didn't look anything like what they expected. And the problem is that we are looking, our expectations of what we expect to see is beyond the teaching of the word. Our concept of who he is different to God and what he expects. And so though the men wanted these kings to look the way they wanted them to do, when he came down, a true king, there was nothing in appearance that was likened to draw people towards him. In other words, he attracted the people by who he was and what he did and how he acted, and not by how he looked and where he lived and how rich he seemed to be. And so he was raised as a carpenter in a home, in a carpenter family home. And all these things that went on in his life that went through, on the third day God's son rose from the dead. As the Bible predicted, as with everything else that was predicted in Scripture. Scholars have written about that. It's in the Holy Word, but scholars have written about that. People who were close to him, people who were connected to him, people who had heard. And the information was passed on because this story was making a lot of news for the time. Now we know what God is like. Jesus has made him known to us because he was God in the flesh on this earth. And so the way that we live is the following the example that he gives. So ever since the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, Jesus has been the great issue between believers and unbelievers. Because what has happened is that has been the conflict. The conflict is not about God, it's about the minds of people. Leaders sought to destroy his history, starting at his tomb, and then he's teaching his Bible. I told you the story about the book that was written. And the writer Saul, he was an incredible investigator, very famous investigator. I believe he was American. And what he did was, there was no crime that he could not solve. Nearly, he was famous for solving these crimes. And so he decided that what he was going to do was he was going to get the Bible and he was going to look at the story of the resurrection of Jesus, and he's going to do an investigation on the law of the time, all the customs and all the things. He was going to do an investigation with the aim of proving that Jesus could not have raised from the tomb. It was called Who Moved the Stone by Frank Morris. And so this guy set out and he did his exploring and he looked at the laws and he looked at the people on the guards and all the rules and the seals and everything else. And at the end of it, he says, I can't prove it. It's impossible. It had to happen. And he became a Christian and a believer. And so it just shows you, you know, that Jesus has been the great issue between believers. People have sought to take that away. But he has stood firm. Why? Because man could do nothing. The scriptures remain. We talk about places like North Korea. You know, I remember teaching on the Bible on a radio. It was one of these satellite radios, and I was teaching. And we knew that there were people in North Korea that were listening to that lesson. And we couldn't investigate it. We didn't dare do that because we didn't want to get them into serious trouble because it would cost them their lives. But the point is this. There are people, even in dictatorship lands, where they're not allowed to so much as say the word Jesus, who know there is a God. And they're seeking to understand the truth, and so they're looking for every opportunity they can to study. Man can do nothing. The scriptures will always remain. The creation speaks, Jesus speaks, the word speaks, his word speaks. But the question is, and this is how I'm going to leave you this morning, is, are we ready to listen? And so in John 1, I'll end with this, in verse 9. John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's what we said, they didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, his creation. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And so they didn't recognize him, they didn't receive him. He came to his own, he came to his own creation. And then he ends with this: yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not natural descent, so we're not talking about physical birth, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. I'm going to leave that with you. Let me encourage you to think about the things that we've talked about this morning. If you want to study more, let me know, and I'll study with you. And I know there are people here that will study with you as well. There's plenty of people here. We want to share the truth. We want to share the message. For the persons that had asked me to speak on this, I hope it's helped you. Help you to understand it a bit more, so that we can get closer to God. Just think about it. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing to know this, and to be able to have the answers to life that God wants each one of us to have. Let's rise as we sing.